Our reading from the scriptures is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22. Proverbs, chapter 22. Our text for this morning is found in the familiar words of verse 6. Proverbs 22. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. He that loveth pureness of heart for the grace of his lips, and the king shall be his friend. The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, and he overthroweth the words of the transgressor. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and that giveth to the rich, shall come to want. Bow down thine ear, and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? Rob not the poor, because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and spoil the soul of those that spoiled them. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. So far we read. May God's blessing take his word and put it in our hearts. Verse 6, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. A command about a responsibility and a wonderful encouragement. In the vow that Cody and Aaron took, again, they made it known that they know of this responsibility, and they are willing and ready to strive to keep that responsibility. But having one little girl already, they also know the need to be encouraged, especially the mothers, every day in the home, every day with that child, not always being the angel she may sometimes look to be, but always a trial. And in many ways, it's just the beginning. A lot more days ahead. And so to have this encouragement, to have God be the encourager, to take on that responsibility is a great help. The responsibility is not only something that a child of God will willingly accept, but the desire that a child of God has that God save his children is that which spurs us on to keep the responsibility. We cannot, and we know that, expect God to save the children in generations if we are faithless or ignorant of or deliberately decline to fulfill the responsibility that God gives. There was no hesitation when Cody and Aaron said yes. And I've never heard that hesitation. That there is and would be some kind of hidden within is totally understandable. And again, that's why the encouragement comes, and that spurs us to say yes. Train up a child in the way. First of all, the responsibility and the nature of the command. The object of the training is a child in the King James. The Hebrew word is unique. There are different words that are translated, Hebrew words that are translated child, and rightly so, but they refer to a specific age or a specific attitude of a child at that time. The word that's given us here in the Hebrew Bible is that which refers to one that is from infancy to approximately mid-teens. But more than just describing their age span, the word child emphasizes dependency. The Hebrew word emphasizes that this kind of a child in that age is very, very dependent. Dependent upon the parent physically, dependent upon the parent psychologically, dependent on the child and upon the parent spiritually. At that age, they're very impressionable. And now others have used two figures of speech to kind of communicate that. One is clay, soft, fresh clay, and the other is that of a young tree. When you just get the clay and you've made it pliable by squeezing it several times or rolling it out and patting it together, then you still can leave indentations, or you can form that clay into whatever pattern you want. The figure of a potter making a clay, an honorable vessel, or a dishonorable in Romans 9, indicates that that clay is soft. Well, the child at this age that's described here is dependent and impressionable. A young tree, it has to be young. You can't do to an old tree what you can do to a young tree. There are some horticulturalists who have taken a very young tree, tender, and they've bent it, and they've tied it down in a certain way, and then, well, the one that I remember seeing is that it came out of the ground straight vertically, and then they bent it almost in a horizontal way, but in an angle to the side, and then they had it turned back up. Now, I saw the tree mature. No more changes could be made, but the changes that were made in that tree were when it was impressionable, when it was young, when it was dependent. Children, the command is parents are to do what to children? They are to train them. Again, the Hebrew word, very interesting, draws a picture. The word train up means literally to dedicate, but dedicate in the sense of making them walk a narrow path. To dedicate in the sense of to narrow them. Now, most of you, just by saying a narrow way or a narrow sense, will rightly think of those words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. To train up, literally, instruct them in and have them walk in the narrow way. Now the idea is this. Not to show them, well, you can do whatever you want. You can go this way, you can go that way. You've got all these options and all of them are possible for you. Not that. No, to say to them, not these, but this way. Point to one path, one way. And usually, what we have to do is say to them, not your way. This is the duty that God gives to parents. Father and mother, who not only gave them genetically all that they are, but who then are also called to show to each one of the children and all of the children that the Lord may be pleased to give to them the way. Now, why parents? Well, it's not only because they live with the parents, they grow up with the parents. That's all they know initially is the parents. But also this, because they're there with the parents are the most, well, they leave the biggest impression on the children. They're the most influential persons in the life of a child. Reflect. Is there any child in all the world, in all of history, who is not initially influenced by their parents? Parents speak instruction, but parents' life also instructs. A child may hear, but a child also sees. Children are most impressed more by what the parents do than by what the parents say. when children leave the home or later on they want to thank the parents, godly parents are always more concerned about what impressions they left with their children that were not as they ought to be. Because sometimes as parents will say, please listen more to what I said than what I did. Because what I did was not as right and as good as it should have been. God is saying here that the influence that godly parents may leave on a child can never be outlived. The little kids learn about the God of their parents. And again, that's universal. Children raised in the home where Hindu or Buddha is worshipped, that's what they learn. That's the impression that's left on that soft clay, on that young tree. And it's there all their life. What we say and how we live leaves an impression on a child about God, about Jesus. They watch us and they see what a marriage is like. They learn from us how to respond to a sin. They learn from us how to respond to the news of forgiveness. That's the concept. Parents. Now, they're never called parents, but that's the idea that's implied in verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, Cody and Aaron know that they did something for the formation of these two little children. And they know that they're the parents of these children. They don't have to be told that. They know that. But what they also know is this, that they didn't do anything, hardly anything, rather, to develop and to form those children in the womb. And just as they didn't do anything so that they just marveled when they came out of the womb at what God did, so parents know very powerfully and at different parts and times in their life, it's really emphatically placed upon them that they can't make any of their children to be God's children. And they know and learn only God can make anyone his child, his adopted child. Only he can. What I'm leading to is this, that consciousness, train, must and always must be accompanied with prayer. As soon as there's conception, there's the need to pray. Because godly fathers, knowing what the scripture says about them, is the realization that they give the child the right to go to hell. And only God can reverse that. So prayer to him who alone is able, prayer to him who calls the things that are not as if they were, prayer to him who spake and it was done, who commanded and it stood fast. prayer to their Father. Their Heavenly Father. Prayer must always accompany the activity of parents in all of their instruction. Teachers as well must, if they have not learned that, they learn that very, very quickly. They can't do a thing to make any of the instructions stick in the head of a child, let alone in the heart. We can't do it. But we know who can, if it's His will. And so just as you have yours, He has His, and He makes us to be His. He only is able to make anyone to be His children. There's the command. But the commandment has those parts: child, train, parents. Now, specifically, what's the content of that command? And the content is train them in the way He should go. In the way He should go. Matthew 7 says, the narrow way. Emphatically. When we're told there's a way He should go, there is clearly implied that there's a way He should not go. The way He should go stands over against the wrong way. And that way He should not go can also be described this way. It's the way that's most natural. It's the easy way. It's the way we'll go when we're not even thinking about it, when nothing directs us. It's the way we want to go. It's our way. Verse 15 said it. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all chosen our own way. One of the first things, well, it is the first thing in Jesus' list in Matthew 16, 24. You would be my disciple? What's the first thing? Can you guess? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. But taking up the cross, taking it up, and following Jesus is preceded by self-denial. Self-control. Very interesting that in Titus chapter 2, when the older members of the church are told to instruct the younger members, Paul tells Titus, teach them, speak to them. And then it uses the word grave. Not how to dribble, how to shoot, how to make money, but how to be grave. And the word for gravity is literally to be self-controlled. The real older members of the church have to be reminded of that. And the reason is because it's not uncommon that the older we get, the freer we think we have to speak. And sometimes the bars are dropped and we just say what we think. No. No. Foolishness is not only bound up in the heart of a child, it's the bound up in the heart of every natural man. And it's got to be denied. Isn't it interesting? In Colossians chapter 3 and in Ephesians 4, before we put on, we take off. Put off the old man. Put off that which is so natural. Put off that which you don't even have to think about to do. When we have to guard our lips, guard our attitude when we watch a college football game, guard our attitude when we're watching a high school basketball game and we look at those who are representing God's authority. Guard our attitude when we go to work and how we treat our job and what we're doing to make money. Guard our attitude in the necessity of honesty at all times. Guard our attitude when the child never stops saying, "Mom, Mom, 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 Mom." The impression that is left on a child is learned from a parent. We have to put off the corrupt nature. And so we put on and teach them God's way. It's not the child has to learn dad's way or mother's way, but the child has to learn God's way. I realize I've said this before, but it just is so important in my soul that Genesis 18, verse 19, follows Genesis 17, 7. 17, 7, "I will be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. I will establish my covenant with you and with your seed." But Genesis 18, 19, as Abraham is being led by the angel that is going to tell them what he's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah, God says this, "I know him, I know Abram, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of Jehovah," that they keep Jehovah's way. There's a biblical counselor who has all kinds of books out, and he has God's Way in the title. Marriage, God's Way. Finances, God's Way. God's Way. There's a right way, there's a wrong way. There's our way, there's God's way. "I know Abraham that he will command his children," he will command his children and his household after him, "that they will keep the way of Jehovah to do justice and judgment," literally righteousness and justice. Then this, "that Jehovah may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken to him." What God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 17:7 is brought to Abraham in reality in the way of God, Abraham, teaching his children and commanding them. You don't have a choice here, child. This is not up to you, and it's not up to me. It's not your way or my way, because dad says so. No, it's because God says so. It's God's way that they do his righteousness, what is right in his sight. That they learn that in whatever they do, they're a child of God. We said that a few weeks ago. No better title, no better consciousness. I am a child of God. I know I've said this to you before. I remember learning long ago that a saintly mother told her children whenever they would leave for their activities or go out with their friends, walk with the King. And I've tried to repeat that. Walk with the King. When there's two of you in the car, don't forget there's really three. Maybe four, the devil, but also Jesus. Don't ever forget you can't do anything and think nobody sees. He sees. He knows. Show them, teach them, command them. The life of self-denial, the life of self-control, the life of prayer. The place that their Bibles are to play in their lives. The story goes of a woman who had 16 children in a very, very small house. And she couldn't go into a prayer closet. But she lived in the day when mothers wore aprons. And when she would sit in a chair and put the apron up off her lap and put it over her head, she was praying. And they were to respect that. Do the children see the mothers pray? Do they see the fathers not just repeating the same phrases, but expressing a genuineness so that they know the concept of sin as being something that's committed against God? So they learn to hate what God hates. Is the God that they're evidenced and demonstrated and impressed with the God of the Bible, the Most High Majesty? They know the word Jesus. They sing it without even realizing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Good, good. But do they know that Jesus is not only a real man, but he's also very God? Do they know that he loves? Not the good ones and not the naughty ones, but that he loves sinners because he's a God of mercy and grace. That they're loved, not just when they're nice. That it's not they're so cute, but they learn that it's not about being cute, but it's obeying the Father. The real Father, who's worthy because they learn not to do it because it's going to, if they don't, they're going to result in a spanking or deprivations or sitting in a corner. But they learn gratitude. Gratitude. They are learning to be so thankful. That's the kind of impression that has to be left in a clay and in a tree and in a child. He loves them and there's no reason, but they love him because he loves them. Trained so that they learn it's not about me, but it's how I can serve all the others about me. Why do they set the table? Why do they clear the table? Why do they vacuum? Why do they put their clothes in the wash and not just in a corner of the room on the floor? Why? All these things. Because we are to serve. Serve each other in the home and serve each other in the church. God gifted the church with pastors, teachers, Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 12. 12 is this: to equip the saints to do the work of serving with a view to the edifying and building up of the body of Christ. To learn, I am here to serve. I am not here to be served. I'm always called to be a servant. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ. Is that how you identify yourself? Is that who you are? That's who you are. Do you live that way? Do you know that? Is that your consciousness? That's the way. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now to this, God gives the most wonderful promise, a great encouragement. And that encouragement is because godly parents need it. They need it because the task is long. Sometimes without dad being home and you're just with the little kids, you start talking the way they talk. And it's so wearying. It's hour after hour. And sometimes it seems absolutely fruitless. Godly parents who know they're sinful and they're weak need the assurance that God is pleased to use weak means to fulfill and accomplish his will. Just weak means. He uses little children, mighty enemies to still. He uses sinful parents who constantly ask him to go beyond what they can do and to forgive them as the instrument he will use to train up a child in the way he should go. They need to know that he seeks them to be faithful, not successful. And they need to know more and more as they go through life, that blessed reality that yesterday is forgiven and he remembers it no more. So with renewed zeal and strength every day, yesterday's gone. I cannot change it. I can say I'm sorry, and I can never say it enough. But it's finished. And God tells me in my language something that is not a reality. He doesn't forget, but he lets me know so I know how he looks at what I've done wrong. I will remember it no more. We need it. And then he adds, And when they are old, it shall not depart from them, and they won't depart from it. This promise is not to be taken as a universal truth. We can't stand before God and say, "You promised every single one of my children must." This is true about the elect among our children. But God sometimes has reprobates among our children. Abraham had an Esau. And he had to learn powerfully that if any single one of them is saved, I am not getting what I deserve. I am getting grace, undeserved love, undeserved, unmerited, unearned. But when we receive what we don't earn or deserve, then God says it will not, they will not depart from it. It is striking that at sunset, when they have their hymn and psalm sings, they take all the people from that unit that are locked in because they've lost their minds or they've lost their memories. They take them out of there and they bring them to the singing. And they don't sing new songs, they sing old songs. And you watch those people who don't know their children anymore, but they know the hymns and they know the psalms, and they sing them from memory. The tree was shaped when it was young. And there it is, retaining those precious truths. A woman in her 60s told me about her mother when I asked her how she was doing. Well, she knows she ate a banana because when she looks in the wastebasket, she sees the peels, and she knew she just ate one, but otherwise she wouldn't know. But she can tell me stories of when she was dating and what I was like as a child, but she can't remember it this morning. God works in such a wonderful way that knowledge of what God has done for them, that they must live a life of self-denial and self-control. That God is a God who forgives. And God is a God who loves the undeserving. That's what we must teach. That's the way of Jehovah. When we walk humbly, when we love mercy, when we do justly, that's the way of Jehovah. And that's the impressions we must leave on our children. Keep training. It's wearying every day, and especially for the mother. But show them a God. Show them a Jesus who died to save his people from their sins. And pray. Because you can't. But he can. And his promise is that he will. What a blessing. It's not just to have them. That's a blessing. It's a blessing not to have them too sometimes. We may select those who have children as blessed and those who don't aren't. But this is the way in which God's blessing has come to you. Keep praying and realize his blessing is real and his promise is sure. Amen. Bless thy word by thy spirit. so that it lives as something that is truly believable. May we understand it, hold it for truth, and now live according to it. All thanks goes to thee. Amen.